Welcome back. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Mike is off tonight, so you got me, broadcasting from the left coast. I am Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and as I like to say, all-around swell fellow. 1 week from Election Day. What could possibly go wrong? We're going to be joined, speaking of what could go wrong, we're going to be joined momentarily by Matt Pascarella of videothevote.org, a little bit later by Victoria Collier of votescam.org about her cover story in this week's Harper's Magazine. We're also going to get to more of your calls at 877-520-1150. You can tweet me at the Brad Blog, and you should stop by our chat room sponsored tonight once again by ScribbleLive.com. Go to BradBlog.com and jump on in. I don't even think you need to log in. You just jump on in and say hello. And you can say worse than that if you want. We have no censoring, no censorship on our chat room blog at bradblog.com. Thank you, Scribble Live, for providing that. Before I go to Matt Pascarella here shortly, let's see, where was this? Somebody in the chat room. There we go. John G. 40 says that Maryland is extending their early voting to Friday and has 12-hour days polling hours, 12-hour a day polling hours to make up for the lost Monday and Tuesday voting. That's good. They use, however, as he points out, the Diebold AccuVote TS machines since 2002. Those are 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines. Whatever the results are reported at the end of the day are going to be the results. It is strictly impossible to know if any vote ever recorded for any candidate or any initiative on the ballot during an election has ever been recorded accurately on a touchscreen voting machine. Do all you can to vote on paper again this year if you can. Of course, where Sandy has knocked out power, you may not be able to vote at all if your only choice is a touchscreen machine. There's your mess. Also, Richard Sharnan, our friend, he was critical of Ari Berman and the Nation in the chat room for not talking enough about voting machine concerns, saying that voter suppression, I guess, doesn't. I can't find the. There was a quote that I wanted to read from him, but I can't find it. But his point was no worries about voter suppression. It's the voting machines you need to worry about. Well, here's the deal, people. Whether it's Richard Sharnan, who I have much respect for and his concerns about the voting machines, or whether it's Chuck Todd at NBC, who I have very little respect for because he doesn't understand the concerns about the voting machines, or the people now running Think Progress, specifically their editor-in-chief, Judd Legum, who they called me a conspiracy theorist last week for even talking about this stuff. Here's the deal. It's two sides of the same coin. You got to make sure that everyone who wants to vote actually gets to vote. But that's not enough. You then have to make sure that their votes are counted and counted accurately and counted in a way that we, the people, can know they have been counted accurately. You can't have one without the other. If you get everyone in there who wants to vote, but, you know, their votes aren't counted in a way that we know they're counted accurately and transparently, what good have you done? On the other hand, if everybody is able to vote transparently, or at least if all the votes that are cast are counted transparently, but people can't vote because they're illegally suppressed, then you still ain't got anything that looks like a democracy. You need to have it all. And these factions who seem to get on one side or the other, oh, I'm worried about voter suppression. Oh, I'm worried about the voting machines. People, you're fighting the same fight. This is the right to vote, the fundamental right to vote, the right that protects all of the other rights. It is the same fight. Hope I'm clear about that. Let me, before I go to Matt Pascarella here very shortly, let me grab a quick call. Dave from Humboldt, California, our old friend Dave. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, as you may know, I have been a longtime fan of you. I think what you've done has just been invaluable in terms of trying to wake people up and educate us to the problems that we have.
How's it working? Are they waking up yet, Dave?
Well, you know, no. I'm on chat rooms a lot, and I think most people can't bring themselves to believe that this could be willful. I think most of the time you have been polite and courteous enough to say you find the machines to be unreliable, undependable, can't count on them, but you don't like to use the words willful and deliberate, because I think stealing elections is tantamount to a capital offense. It's more so than just...
It's treason. And frankly, I think we need to upgrade the laws so that if anyone is disenfranchised in any way, shape, or form, that needs to be a felony, a federal felony for each disenfranchisement that has occurred. But, you know, as I often say, when it comes to the voting machines, yes, they do fail. They don't work. They just don't record votes accurately, as we saw as recently as, you know, March down in Palm Beach County, Florida, when three elections were on paper ballot elections, by the way, that were run through optical scanners, the computers announced three losing candidates to be the winner. And those machines are now used all across the country, are going to be used all across the country next Tuesday. People think if they have paper ballots, everything is fine. The dirty little secret is nobody counts those paper ballots. It's the computers. So, yes, they fail, and they can be manipulated in 30 seconds' time, leaving almost no possibility of detection.
Well, so you be assured, Brad, yeah, that one person is convinced that this is willful, that there are those people who are not inhibited by ethics or character that will rig elections. I'm convinced of it.
There's no question that they will if given the opportunity, and there's no question that they do. Dave, I appreciate the call. Great to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you,
Ben. Always good to hear from you. All right, let me get to, very quickly, Matt Pascarella from videothevote.org is here to tell us how to do something about this entire fine mess. He's the executive. Where's my notes?
Hang on a second.
Matt, there we go. Okay, here we go. He's the project director at videothevote.org. He is also formerly of Greg Palast's intrepid team of investigators, now working this year with videothevote.org. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. All right. Let everyone know, what is videothevote.org? How can they get involved, and what do we need to do?
Yeah, so Video the Vote is a national network of citizen journalists all across the country that they work together to protect voting rights by documenting cases of voter disenfranchisement. And so we encourage people to sign up and get involved at www.videothevote.org to cover the election in their community. And we're also opening up an exciting and very easy way to participate this year. And that is, if you see anything that looks wrong on election day, that you should capture it with your smartphone or camera and then tag it with Video the Vote on your Twitter account, your YouTube account, mm-hmm. your Instagram account, or your Ustream account. And our team will be monitoring all those feeds on election day, and we can find it and push your story out to the media.
And now Video the Vote in past elections has been invaluable to me. You guys have put out video or have contacted me with, you know, things you have found, votes flipping on touchscreen voting machines, or insanely long lines at the polls. So if people go to, I mean, obviously people can do this now on their own with their cell phone. They don't need to be signed up anywhere. But if they go to videothevote.org and put in their information, then if there are problems on election day, hotspots, you'll actually contact folks and see if you can deploy them to such and such a precinct to see if they can capture the problem that's going on videotape. Do I understand it correctly?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're monitoring, in partnership with the Election Protection Coalition, a database through the 866-R-VOTE hotline.
Mm-hmm.
So any calls with problems that are reported into that database, we immediately try to dispatch our volunteers, you know, in those areas to go out and document what's happening in that particular situation.
How many volunteers do you have right now signed up?
Just right around 4,000 right across the country.
Wow.
And we're growing more and more by the day.
So if people go to videothevote.org, they can sign up and they'll sort of be on call as needed. If somebody calls in, if people begin calling in with a problem, to 866-OUR-VOTE. And by the way, that's a number that everybody should write down, should write on your hands right now in indelible ink. 866-OUR-VOTE. If you have any problem voting, whether it's early voting between now and Tuesday or next Tuesday itself, 866-OUR-VOTE. If you have any problem voting, you can also go to OurVoteLive.org. And I believe, as in past years, you were able to sort of peruse the database, the problem database. Do they have that as well this year, as far as you know, Matt Pascarella?
Yes, yes. And they're supposed to be doing actually a live mapping this year, so you can have a visual. There's a big visual component to mm-hmm. everything that's coming in. You know, aside from dispatching people, you know, once if you sign up to our site and you get involved, you know, that gives us the ability to provide you with resources, training materials, things to look out for, what to shoot, how to upload, how to use the system. I mean, it's all very straightforward information, but we've collected all that on our site and are doing trainings and are, you know, doing, you know, phone-based mm-hmm. trainings. So we encourage people to sign up, but then do that and possibly be dispatched. But we're also, you know, really, really pushing for people to just automatically just, you know, keep your eyes open at your polling place when you're out voting. And if you see anything that looks wrong, just pull out your smartphone, you know, or mm-hmm. pull out your camera and document what's happening. You know, we have certain rules. You're supposed to observe and not interfere. You're mm-hmm. supposed to ask permission before you film people. There's some cardinal rules that you can find on our website. But basically, you know, familiarize yourself with those rules and be prepared to video the vote when you go out to go, you know, go vote.
And I would encourage people, when the polls close, well, I have this on my mind, when the polls close, show up at the polls and take video and photographs of those poll tapes, the little results tapes that print off of the feed out of the computers at the end of the night with the results, because they do have a way of changing, oddly enough, between the time they're printed out at the polling place and the time they show up on the web in the middle of the night. So get out there and document that. You have no idea when your information might come in handy. We have seen this before. So photograph those poll tapes off the machines. Otherwise, go to videothevote.org, and or if you capture anything of note, let them know about it by using the hashtag videothevote on Twitter and everywhere else. Thanks, Matt, for all you're doing, and best of luck between now and Tuesday, my friend. You're going to need it.
Thank you, Brad. You will, too.
I tell me about it. All right. Thanks, brother. Stay safe. Matt Pascarella.
All right, you too.
Matt Pascarella from videothevote.org. When we come back, we're going to pick things up with Ron of Youngstown, Ohio. He's got some concerns about some what? Dishonest ads by Romney in Ohio? I don't believe it. And Victoria Collier is going to join us at the bottom of the hour on how to rig the vote. This is Brad on the Molloy Show.
Bonfires burning bright, pumpkin faces in the night. I remember Halloween, dead cats hanging from poles, little dead are out in droves. I remember Halloween.
Welcome back to the Mike Moore Show. Well done, Tony. It is the night before Halloween. It could be the night before your worst nightmare. It could be the week before your worst nightmares come true. 1 week from tonight, on Election Day, November 6th. No matter what you may be told, Election Day is November 6th, not November 8th. Maricopa County, Phoenix, who told people it was, only told Hispanic people, though, so no worries that it was November 8. Anyway, 877-520-1150 is our phone number if you want to get in. We're also going to be joined in a bit by Desi Doyen. We've got a hell of a green news report, as you might imagine, given Hurricane Sandy. That's going to be coming up shortly. And Victoria Collier of Vote Scam and the author of How to Rig an Election, this month's cover story in Harper's Magazine, is going to be joining us shortly as well. 877-520-1150. As promised, however, let's go to Ron in Youngstown, Ohio. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, sir.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, I've been better, but, you know, what's up?
I called to tell you about two ads that we saw that here in Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
One of them shows an older gentleman speaking in broken English, and then they show a field where there's hundreds of workers working in a field, and the guy says, I left there to escape socialism, and a vote for Barack Obama will bring back socialism or will lead to socialism or something.
Good Lord.
It's a slide to socialism.
Right.
And
is that sponsored by is that a Romney ad, no, or one of these dark money third party ads?
It's one of these dark money which comes from the Republicans anyway.
Sleazy,
but anyway,
bastards.
The next ad, it was really kind of funny. It said, "Don't believe Obama. He made the auto business go bankrupt. Romney would have saved it without going bankrupt, and all the jobs from Chrysler wouldn't be going to India or something."
China. No, that actually is a Mitt Romney ad. He's telling people that Jeep is going to be moving their jobs to China now.
Yeah, this Chrysler Chrysler came out right away and said, "No, that's not true."
Yeah, but he's doubled down. He's done a TV ad now. He's done a radio ad now. This guy is and I got to get to a break, Ron, so thanks for the call. I do appreciate you hanging on here and speaking up. Good luck in Ohio next week. You guys are going to need it, I'm afraid.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to need it.
You
Bye.
Are. Bye. Yeah, he is just an unbelievable liar. And I will be, listen, if he gets screwed by the voting machines, if Romney gets screwed, I'll be the first one in line fighting for him. Because that's what democracy is like. So it's not about right or left for me. But this guy is an unbelievable liar. I cannot believe the polls are this close. That is the fault of the media. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Why I came here.
I'm scared in case I fall off my chair.
But no, I'm not scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
I'll just take the elevator.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am stuck in the middle with you once again right here on the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, stuck right here in the middle of hour number two of the Mike Molloy Show. Glad you're with us tonight. And don't miss hour number three. We got plenty straight ahead, including Desi Doyen and one hell of a Green News report, and your calls at 877-520-1150, 1 week away from Election Day. And voters are already trying to vote, trying to cast their vote, trying to cast a vote that may or may not be either verified or verifiable at the end of the day on Tuesday. And many people, as we discussed in the past hour, may not be able to vote at all, as power is out now across nearly a dozen states, many of them that use electronic voting systems, which means if they don't get that power back on by Tuesday, and if they don't have enough emergency paper ballots for every voter, that turns out people may not be able to vote at all next Tuesday. And I'm talking about states like that have so little respect for their voters. States like Pennsylvania, Virginia, New Jersey, parts of Ohio. These states have so little respect for their voters in many cases that they force them to vote on 100% unverifiable electronic touchscreen voting systems. This is a very serious concern. Moving this very same ball forward, this from Harper's Magazine this month, the November issue, the cover story, How to Rig an Election. Quote, "But as the 20th century came to a close, a brave new world of election rigging emerged on a scale that might have prompted Huey Long's stunned admiration. Tracing the sea changes in our electoral process, we see the two major events have paved the way for this lethal form of election manipulation, the mass adoption of computerized voting technology and the outsourcing of our elections to a handful of corporations that operate in the shadows with little oversight or accountability. This privatization of our elections has occurred without public knowledge or consent, leading to one of the most dangerous and least understood crises in the history of American democracy. We have actually lost the ability to verify election results. That's from the cover story of Harper's Magazine this month, the cover story, How to Rig an Election. It was written by Victoria Collier. Let me tell you who she is. Journalist James and Kenneth Collier pioneered the election integrity movement with their historic 25-year investigation into election fraud in America. Their 1992 book, Vote Scam, The Stealing of America, chronicles their groundbreaking work and very personal journey as radical democracy activists from the Nixon era through the first Bush presidency. The Collier brothers both died in the 1990s, but James Collier's wife and daughter, Phyllis and Victoria, have kept the vote scam investigation alive. And indeed, Victoria Collier has done exactly that with her cover story this month in Harper's Magazine, one which I should add is quite welcome. Victoria Collier, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, hi there, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Well, you sound disappointed. Everything okay?
No. I think it's been a long day battling election rigging denialists on the mainstream news. So, excuse me if I'm a little bit less energetic than usual.
No, it's okay. I thought I might have bummed you out from reading from your own article because, yeah, it is kind of disturbing. You say you have been facing, how did you call it, election integrity denialists all day on the radio?
Well, I know you're aware of Stephen Rosenfeld's piece in Alternet and mm-hmm. also on Salon, and I don't know if it's gone anywhere else, but I think the title is Five Reasons Why Karl Rove Will Not Electronically Steal the Election.
Right.
And he smears my Harper's piece, and I do believe also your work, mm-hmm. and basically everybody else in the election integrity movement. And I was surprised to discover that he was also the guest on a radio show with me today, nationally syndicated show. And I was frustrated that I wasn't able to fully respond to him. I wasn't given much time.
Well, I will give you that time here. I know that you were on NPR, To the Point with Warren Olney. And let me just give folks a little bit more background here. What we're talking about, Stephen Rosenfeld, he used to be, he worked with investigative reporters Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman. They did really, really important work after the 2004 election. And Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman continue to do that good work today. I've had Steve Rosenfeld on this show before. Because he's done a lot of good reporting, but in this case, this article, I got to say, I don't understand what he was thinking, Rosenfeld was thinking. I don't understand what Judd Legum, the chief editor-in-chief at Think Progress, was thinking. He also smeared me as a conspiracy theorist. I understand what Chuck Todd was thinking when he tweeted last week that people who are concerned about voting machine conspiracies are no different than Trump birther garbage. So that's, Chuck Todd, NBC, I get it. He has no clue what's going on. But when it comes to folks like otherwise good folks like Think Progress and Steve Rosenfeld, this attack on people, you make a rather reasoned argument, Victoria Collier, in your Harper's Magazine cover story, that we've lost the ability to verify elections, that privatized voting systems are a threat to democracy. Why is that so controversial?
Well, I share your complete confusion about Rosenfeld's motivation. But very personally because of his involvement in the election integrity movement. But what, we've been seeing for years now, and you can probably tell your own stories, is that most of the attacks on election integrity investigations come not from the right wing, which you would expect, and the right wing corporate press. They, for the most part, really ignore, which I think is the better strategy, just ignore the information and don't respond to it, don't respond to the evidence. The attacks come from the left wing more than anywhere else, and this is very, very perplexing to a lot of people because, you know, we've been reporting on the right wing connections, the inordinate right wing connections to these voting machine companies. And meanwhile, we've seen this tremendous shift to the right in American politics in recent decades that has corresponded to the spread of these privatized voting machine systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a direct correlation. I mean, I've been watching it. I'm 37 years old, and literally every indicator of social progress has plummeted in America in my lifetime. And, you know, the past 40 years, we've just seen this downward spiral that's correlated to an increasing corporatization of our government, of our society, and at the same time of our voting system, and this lack of accountability. So it's a very big story. It's complex. You know, the Harper's piece was 7,000 words, but it really only grazed the surface of it. But you know, why do left wing media voices feel the need to run interference for the right-wing voting machine companies?
Well, what is your answer to that? Because I know what some people say in response to that, but what is your answer to that? Why do we see folks like Judd Legum at Think Progress or Steve Rosenfeld at Alternate and Salon, why are they running interference, as you describe it?
Well, I think, you know, if we want to ascribe the most positive possible motivations, I would say, number one, there is a real concern that to discuss this issue will suppress voter turnout. And that is the one thing that the left, you know, is terrified of more than anything else. I've been hearing this argument for most of my life. When I was in college in New York City, I was trying to educate different political groups on my college campus about this problem. And I remember talking to the Green Party Get Out the Vote team. And this was, well, I don't know how many years ago this was now, but they told me the same thing. They said, well, we don't want to talk about this issue because we just want to get out the vote, you know, and this is going to scare people. So, you know, listen, that's no excuse. You know, we don't have the right to lie and to mislead American voters. And American voters are not children. You know, we can handle the truth.
Well,
and
I also, Victoria, let me add. Go ahead. Please, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was going to say, I not only can they handle the truth, I have found no actual evidence that talking about these issues actually suppresses the vote or depresses the vote or depresses the turnout. You know, these are here. Let me read one more sentence from your piece in Harper's. By means of proprietary corporate-owned software, just one programmer could steal hundreds, thousands, potentially even millions of votes with the stroke of a key. It's the electoral equivalent of a drone strike. Now, that's the sort of language I've been using for years to describe these concerns. And what I find is not that it you know, depresses turnout. People hear this stuff. They get ticked off. They want to do something about it. They want to say, what can I do? How can I fight this? How can I make sure that my vote is, that I get to vote and that my vote is counted and counted accurately? And I have found absolutely no evidence to back up the assertion that talking about these things somehow depresses turnout. And I've got the evidence that is actually just the opposite of that, Victoria. And let me just and I'll just describe it very quickly. In 2006, I believe it was. Wait a minute. No, we're 2012. I think it was 2006. Pardon me if I'm getting the year wrong. But out here in California at the time, Secretary of State, in the Secretary of State race, Deborah Bowen was running for Secretary of State of California. She was a Democrat. She was running against a Republican who was appointed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. She had one issue, which was a top-to-bottom review of the electronic voting machines. She ran commercials showing that people could flip the results of an election by inserting a virus when they, you know, took the voting machines home on sleepovers, as poll workers still do around the country. That was her one issue, concerns about voting machines. That year, she was the only Democrat on the statewide ticket to win. Every single other office went to the Republicans, governor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, everything else. It was a clean slate for Republicans across the supposedly blue state of California, except for Deborah Bowen, the Democrat who ran on concerns about voting machines. She won the race. Now, explain to me how it depressed turnout when that was her only issue that she was running on back in 2008.
Also, you know, I think the point that we're all increasingly making, especially just based on the evidence we've been seeing, is that, you know, voter turnout, we are all encouraging people to vote. So there's no one in the election integrity movement is saying, forget it, you know, stay home. Everybody's saying, get out there, because it makes it a lot harder to shift votes by enormous margins. I mean, if you've got huge leads for, you know, any particular candidate, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the computerized voting machines, you know, spit out some insane result. Well, of course, they have done that many times, but fact is it's quite easy to look at that data and say something is really wrong here. So, you know, Obama's election in 2008, there was just tremendous voter turnout, huge support from the left, and I think any potential rigging on the right or McCain that either, you know, was unsuccessful or maybe even not even attempted. He was not a popular candidate. I don't think anyone would have imagined that they could have successfully rigged voting machines for McCain and Sarah Palin, not up against someone like Barack Obama.
Not in
but
a year.
But, of course, this year.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Hold on to this year and what people can do about it. I got to get to a break here. Speaking with Victoria Collier, Harper's Magazine, and VoteScam.org. Stay with us.
And my heart is so sore. 6 more miles and leave my dark. I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
Yeah, you know, it's like if the Democratic attorneys that will tell you that, oh, we've got thousands of attorneys out on election day, you don't need to worry about those voting machines. You know, as if they can see inside the black boxes. No, what they're really going to do is they're going to put a spell on those black boxes to keep anything from going wrong. That's the plan. That'll work. What could possibly go wrong? I'm speaking with Victoria Collier of VoteScam.org and the author, the journalist, the writer of the cover story of this month's Harper's Magazine cover story, How to Rig an Election. And she shares that sentiment, writing, staring at the outside of a black box voting system and attempting to detect fraud, however, will not ultimately produce clean elections. Well, Victoria Collier, what will produce clean elections ultimately?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, one point that not to get back to Stephen Rosenfeld, but actually this was something that I did want to say, and I was cut off mid-sentence today on NPR. You know, he seems to have a fundamental complaint that I think is really motivating him, mm-hmm. that we are saying that computerized voting, computerized vote rigging is the number one problem, and there's no other problem in our elections. I don't know where he gets this. It's not true. And obviously, you at the Brad blog have been covering voter suppression issues and other issues related to all sorts of fraud for mm-hmm. 10 years. But it brings up a good point that the election integrity movement that must develop in the United States has to be comprehensive, and we have been somewhat of a circular firing squad over the years because everybody's claiming, you know, my issue is more important than your issue. Unfortunately, that's also what Stephen Rosenfeld does in his article. But what we need to do is support each other's work and realize that, you know, in order to really have a movement that's effective and really makes the changes that are needed, we have to look at ballot integrity, being able to actually observe the vote count so that there is accountability, transparency in the vote count, and also, you know, dealing with the other issues of voter, you know, access to the polls, voter suppression, all of those civil rights issues, and also campaign finance reform.
Yep.
You know, until we deal with campaign finance reform, you know, we're going to continue to see representatives who are, you know, beholden to corporate interests before they can be beholden to communities and to individuals. So this is, you know, and I would also add in there media reform, because as long as the corporate press is basically restricting access to grassroots candidates, and including presidential candidates like, you know, Ralph Nader, Ron Paul, Jill Stein. I mean, Jill Stein was arrested outside the presidential debates.
Yep.
You know, they can't get in. Ralph Nader couldn't get in. And as long as the media is not allowing us to hear the voices of candidates who are not establishment sanctified, then that's not really grassroots democracy.
Well, as I was talking about that earlier in the hour, that this is all part of the same fight. This is all part of the fight for democracy, fighting voter suppression, fighting concerns about privatized voting machines that are unverifiable, and as you say, campaign finance reform, and yet you need to reform the media to do it. So I'm with you all around, and I'm with you, Victoria Collier, for your Harper's piece, which, by the way, it's not, I think it's illegal, but I think it's up at reader-supported news.org if you can't get a copy of Harper's. I wish the hell they would put it online. Victoria Collier, thank you for your work. Folks who know Brad Blog will find a lot of familiar stuff in that piece. It's good stuff. Victoria Collier from votescam.org, thanks for your work, and keep up that good fight, Victoria.
Thanks for having me, Brad. You too.
You bet. All right, when we come back, your calls, 877-520-1150, plus Desi Doyen, Green News, Hurricane Sandy, and more.